New legislation to regulate vaping will be introduced to Parliament today in an effort to balance helping smokers and at the same time not encouraging new users. Associate Health Minister Jenny Salisa said the bill was the most significant change to New Zealand's smoke-free laws since they were introduced 30 years ago. So, no sales to under 18-year-olds, no vaping or smokeless tobacco in smoke-free areas, and limited to general outlets, so for example dairies and service stations, to sell just three flavours, tobacco, mint, menthol. Says Ash NZ Director Deborah Hart, the rapid rise of smoke-free nicotine products, especially vaping, is the most disruptive influence on smoking in decades. These products are challenging the smoke tobacco stranglehold on the nicotine market. But they have been aggressively marketed. Catchy jingles, ads on dating apps, popular Instagram influencers and music festivals. The bill will receive its first reading in March, when it will then be referred to the Health Select Committee. With me first is Stephanie Erick, the General Manager of the National Tobacco Control Agency Service at Hāpai Te Hauora. Kia ora, Stephanie.
Kia ora, Wallace.
Yes, so what do you make of this? Do you welcome this bill?
Look, yes, we do, absolutely. We've been waiting for regulation for some time, and while we haven't had any regulation, you know, the industry has been able to just pretty much go wild with advertising and so forth. So it is important that we have some kind of rules around how we do things and how we, just sort of manage ourselves and manage vaping as it begins to grow in Aotearoa.
What significance will this have for Māori and Pacifica?
From our view, I think it's really important that we're able to offer another tool to stop smoking, because what we know for Māori and Pacific communities is that what we've currently had over the last few decades hasn't worked as well as it has for other community groups. So we've seen, there's a lot of anecdotal research out there, we've just sort of seen as being people in our communities, a lot of our whānau like to use vapes as a way to stop smoking or as another distraction away from whatever stresses is happening in their lives. And it's positive that we have this, and that the regulations are here to help us keep it away from children, I guess.
Right. So, yeah, you see it as a way, a significant way that people can get off the cigarettes. Do you have an example for us, someone who actually has used, that you've worked alongside, you know, who has used vaping to, you know, get off the cigarettes, if you like?
It's really funny you asked me that question, because I was thinking about what I might share, and I'm not a practitioner per se, so I'm not out there in the community, but, you know, just being Pacific, my brother-in-law started vaping a few years ago. So, you know, this is a few years ago, so the vaping regulations have come in a little bit late, yes. But he said to me, look, you know, Steph, I just don't have time to go to a treatment clinic. I don't know anyone at the DHBs. I don't feel comfortable talking to a health professional. So I'm trying these, you know, vape. And at that time, I wasn't very familiar with it. And he began to explain how it worked for me. So I got to learn a lot about it as a non-vapor through my brother-in-law, who successfully used it to stop smoking. Now, that's a great thing. That's just amazing. And he's a typical, you know, worker, Pacific Island guy, kids, you know, school drop-offs. He's busy. He doesn't have time to sit in a clinic. And he self-determined this for himself as a way to help himself stop smoking for his family. So he did it. But the funny thing is that my sister still sees it as something just as dangerous as smoking, which is actually not true.
So no, right.
We need more education around.
Just on a final point before we move on, because there was a lot of concern about vaping last year, wasn't there? Mainly out of the US, the Centers for Disease Control and Protection did investigate a cluster of pulmonary disease cases amongst users. So, are you concerned about what we don't know about vaping?
Absolutely, it's really important. But as part of the regulations, to set up a quality safety system around the product. So that's going to be extremely important for us here in Aotearoa, so that vaping has the ingredients that go into it that we're familiar with and that we know what's in there. And that's what regulation will bring to us, quality vapes and also informing the community where to go get those quality vapes.
All right, great to have
you. We're all not going out buying it off the, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, no, good to have you on, Stephanie. That's Stephanie Eric, there, General Manager of the National Tobacco Control Agency Service at Hapai Te Hauora. To our panellists, Stephen Jacoby, what do you make of this issue? Do you support this bill as it stands?
Yes, I think I would support more regulations to be available to place controls on vaping, particularly for younger people. I mean, I'd rather people didn't smoke. I'd rather they didn't vape. I'd rather they didn't do drugs. I, however, want to continue to drink alcohol. But having said that, and acknowledge my slightly conflicted position, so I think that we should be trying to find ways to control this, because there does seem to be evidence, and we heard it from Stephanie, that it can be useful in stopping people from smoking and developing greater nicotine addiction. That's great. I hope there's a pathway out of vaping as well. And I wish people would stop vaping on the street so you walk through a cloud of smoke. But yes, I think this is probably a good move.
A cloud of fruity flavoured smoke. Mm. What do you think, Joe? I mean, does this strike a fair balance? Vaping made available to those who use it as a quit smoking tool, and whilst not encouraging its use amongst non-smokers and teenagers, because that's a key thing, isn't it, as well?
Is not it being just another addictive product that is available? Yeah, look, I think it is actually quite surprising that this is so far been unregulated. And I know it's interesting to see the research that seems to suggest that people are using it as a pathway out of smoking and not starting vaping without having been smokers. But I'm a little uneasy, I suppose, at the vast amount of marketing collateral I see for vaping and vaping products, which does seem to me to be extremely targeted at young people. So I feel that sits pretty uneasily with me. And I wonder, when you see products like that being advertised, it really strikes you that you don't see cigarettes being advertised now. And that's a good thing. That's helping reduce the rates of smoking in this country.
Mm. Someone says here, your guest should not be allowed to assert that vaping is not as dangerous as smoking tobacco. We don't know that yet. The research is not in. What is this, a free advertising platform for the vaping business? Well, just in response to that, because there has been a lot of work done on this, for example, here's one of many, but I'll just read one now. Dr. Natalie Walker, Associate Professor in Public Health, the National Institute for Health Innovation at the School of Population Health, also the Director for Centre for Addiction Research at the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences, said we need e-cigarettes in context. First, they have been around for more than a decade with no indications of harm. Second, the recent US events appear to be acute. That is, they don't appear to be related to long-term vaping. Finally, in the US, 480,000 people die every year from smoking-related diseases. That's 1,300 deaths a day. It's a pity these deaths don't also make the world news. And that is Dr. Natalie Walker, the Director for Centre for Addiction Research at the University of Auckland, to allay your concerns.